May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the coming one. Amen. Our text today is the Gospel, Luke 21, Jesus talking about the last days. We pray, Lord, cause your word to penetrate our minds and our hearts this day for repentance, for faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What matters now? What really matters now? If you recall, before the election of a couple weeks ago, our governor-elect Bill Haslam ran some ads, and in his advertisements on TV, he would kind of look in the mirror, and he would say things like, getting Tennesseans back to work, that's what matters now. Or, lowering taxes, that's what matters now. Or protecting Tennesseans. That's what matters now. Oh, really? In our gospel lesson today, our Lord Jesus will look at us in our eyes, eyeball to eyeball, and he would really teach us what matters now. He doesn't mention unemployment, as important as that is to many of us. He doesn't mention taxes. Or crime, all those things certainly have their importance. So he doesn't talk about any of that. This is his last sermon before he goes to the cross. In Luke 21, it is the Tuesday of Holy Week. He will die on Friday. This is Tuesday. He's teaching the temple. It's his last words, if you will, his last official sermon. He's talking about the last days and when he'll come again. And our Lord does not sugarcoat things. Doesn't beat around the bush. In a simple, straightforward way, he tells us, in essence, all hell's going to break loose before the end. You're going to have false messiahs, lots of heresy and false doctrine that could lead you astray. You're going to have wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be persecution of the church, thrown in prison, killed. Your own family might betray you. Signs in the sky kind of falling apart, earthquakes, floods, hurricanes. People are perplexed. Confused. There's terror on every hand. You think it's bad now? I guess it's going to get worse, we might say in general. What are we as the baptized, as Christians, to do? Run the cave and hide? What are we to do as Christians living in the last days? Whether the last days today or 1,000 years, what are we to do? It's all the last days. In this gospel, the Lord gives us, if you will, 7 imperatives. To the church. 7 commands to the church that stand out for me in the text. Of all the stuff that's going to go on, these are 7 commands, 7 imperatives. 2 of these, as I'll show you today, 2 of these have to do with truth. What matters now? The truth. Keep it, church. That's what matters now. 3 of them have to do with faith. What matters now? Keep the faith. Trust your God in the midst of all this terrible stuff. That's what matters now. Faith. And the last 2 had to do with hope, the hope of glory. What matters now? Hope. Hope of our glorious future when the Lord returns. Truth, faith, hope. That's what matters now. Let's talk about these things. First of all, the first 2 commands, the first 2 imperatives in the text, had to do with truth for the church. The Lord begins his discussion. He says, "See that you are not led astray." That's number 1. Commandment. See that you are not led astray. Say it with me. See that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am he. The time is at hand. And here's 2. Do not go after them. Say it with me. Do not go after them. It has to do with truth. There's going to be false messiahs, false doctrines, false religions, heresy all over the place. Don't be deceived, church. Don't go after that stuff and become interested in it and read about it and follow all that. Stay in the truth. Keep the truth. This is 1 of all the signs Jesus gives. The first sign is heresy. Because it's 1. If you don't have truth, what do you have? You must keep the truth of who the Messiah is and what he's done, or what do you have? If I'm going to go to Indianapolis to see my mom, and I'm traveling Thanksgiving time, what's the most important thing to do while I'm on the road? Stay on the road. Right? Stay on the road. If I veer off the road to the east or west or come south, I'm not going to make it. No matter how nice the trip is, I'm not going to make it if I veer off the road. Stay on the road. As I go on the road, there may be a massive snowstorm. There might be an ice storm. There might be a hurricane. There might be an earthquake. Who knows? Tennesseans and Kentuckians may break out in war if Kentucky beats Tennessee in football after, 25 years? Who knows? All that may happen, but if I stay on the road, I'll make it. If I get off the road, I have no chance. It's kind of like the first commandment. You know the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. It's kind of the same thing. Keep the truth of who God is. Stay on the path of truth. If you veer off of that, you're lost. I want you to think of the six chief parts of the catechism. What is the truth that keeps us on the path, Pastor? What is that truth that keeps me on the way? You might think of the six parts of our catechism that many of us have learned. Do you know what they are? You should know what they are to stay on them. The Ten Commandments, the law, the gospel, very important to know all that. The Apostles' Creed, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all that God's done for us in grace and mercy, important to know who God is. That's the path. The Lord's Prayer, then we can pray to God after we know who He is. We can pray and pray and pray. That helps keep us on the path and our prayers. Then you have Holy Baptism, where God saves us, puts us on the right path. Then you have Confession and Absolution, the office of the keys, the ministry of the pastors, and forgiving sins, giving the word and sacraments. This keeps you on the path. You're here to stay on the path, to stay on the road, aren't you? Then you have Holy Communion, the sacrament of the altar. Know those six chief parts, along with everything else, but know those things, and don't let anything ever undermine those things. You hear anything against any of that, baptism or communion in particular, and the Trinity, you hear anything against that, don't be deceived. Don't follow that. Don't let your kids follow that. Stay on the path. Because the path leads home. If you don't keep the truth, what do you have? You know, I read where Butterball, you know, they prepare turkeys for people at Thanksgiving time. And I read where they have a hotline. You can actually call the Butterball company if you have a question about how to make your turkey. And this is a true story. I guess one guy last year or sometime, he called Butterball. A fella did. It had to be a man do this. And he told Butterball that he got his chainsaw out, and he cut his turkey in half with a chainsaw. And he wanted to know if the oil and grease from the chainsaw would adversely affect his turkey. Now, I'm not even that foolish. Duh. You don't mess up your turkey for Thanksgiving, folks. Who cares? McDonald's has chicken McNuggets. Have chicken. Have Chinese food, right? Get your fortune cookie. Messing up a turkey doesn't matter. A lot of things we mess up doesn't matter. Don't mess with the truth. Don't mess with the Lamb who was slain and the gospel of forgiveness poured out upon us. What really matters? Keep the truth, First Lutheran. That's what matters. The next three commandments, we might say, have to do with faith. What matters? Keep the faith. Keep trusting God in the midst of all this hell breaking loose. Trust your God knows what He's doing. We read here, the Lord continues, when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified. There's number three of your commands. Do not be terrified. Say it with me. Do not be terrified. You should memorize these commandments of the last days. Don't be scared of wars and terrorism. Don't be frightened by all this stuff. Why? Because we have peace with God. That's why. We're no longer in a war with God. God has come down in Christ. Jesus won the war. The most important war, the greatest war, has already been won for us by Jesus. He conquered sin, conquered death, conquered the devil and all hell. It is finished. We have peace with God. So don't worry about all the temporal wars. Pray about them. Do our best with them. But don't be frightened. Have faith, in other words. Have faith in your God who's won all things for you. He then goes off in a discussion about persecution of the church. Gets personal here. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you, persecute you, deliver you up to the synagogues and prisons. You'll be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be an opportunity to bear witness. Settle it. Here's number four of your commands. Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. Now, I won't have you repeat that with me, okay? The essence is do not worry. Say that with me. Do not worry. You're persecuted. you're ridiculed for being a Christian, don't worry about what to say. Don't premeditate beforehand. The Holy Spirit is with you. You know the gospel that you've been taught. And the Spirit will give you boldness. He'll give you the words to say. So don't worry about persecution. In other words, have faith. Have faith that God loves you. God forgives you. God is with you. God will give you the boldness and the strength. He'll give you the words. Have faith. And then in the bottom paragraph there, we have three commandments to flee that I'm summarizing into one, which is commandment number 5. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, know that its desolation has come. Then these three combined. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are inside the city depart. Let not those who are out in the country enter it. Get out of Jerusalem. That's the commandment here. The fifth one. Get out of Jerusalem. Now, how does that have to do with faith? What does that have to do with me? Well, let me explain. The Lord here is talking about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. When he speaks, it's around 33 A.D. So in about 40 years, the Roman army will come, and the Roman army will wipe out the whole city of Jerusalem and knock down the temple and kill many people, and people will. And the Lord is saying, when you see that army come, flee! Normally, people in that day would stay in the city for protection behind the walls and maybe their own army. They would stay in and fight. The Lord is saying, flee, get out. Don't enter the town if you're outside. Get out of Jerusalem, because this isn't an ordinary war. This is the wrath of God. God's wrath is coming upon Jerusalem. You're not going to be able to escape that wrath. So get out. Jerusalem is being judged because Jerusalem has rejected the Messiah. And so God brings the army upon them. Flee, Jerusalem, get out. Where are they supposed to flee to? I suggest they are to flee to the New Jerusalem, which is the Christian church. Flee to the apostles and the church. Flee to Jesus. Flee, run to Christ. Run to the one who can save you, the Messiah, which you'll find with the apostles and the Christian church. In other words, have faith outside yourself, have faith outside Jerusalem, the city, have faith in something else, in Jesus and the church. Put your faith there. Application for us. We all have a Jerusalem right in here. I suggest Jerusalem is a picture of self-righteousness. Jerusalem is self-righteousness symbolized. It is all those that think they can make it by the law, by their good life. And as we approach the last days, flee from your self-righteousness. Flee from your inward Jerusalem, your pride, your list of good works. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your good life. Don't be self-righteous. That's all the Jerusalem in us. Flee from all that and flee to Jesus. Flee to the Word, the sacrament, the gospel. Flee to the church. You ought to run to church. I'm now allowing running in church, okay? Pat, you okay with that? In a good sense. We run in here. You can't wait to get here. Come in late. Come in. You run, you flee, Christ says. Because it's Jesus, after all. It's my only hope and my only salvation. You know, I read where retail stores have done a study of how to make waiting in line more pleasant. Because the holidays are coming, we got to wait in line, right? How can they make waiting in line more pleasant where people don't drop their stuff and leave? Then they don't get any business at all, right? If you leave. So should we have TV sets we can watch while we wait in line? Or maybe snack foods. Now that's a good idea. Snack foods while I wait in line. Yeah, I like that one. Or maybe put a sign up of how much time I have to wait. 15 minutes, 10 minutes. They even did a study where the scent of lavender makes a more pleasant waiting experience. Lavender? What's lavender? I don't know. They study this stuff. Many of us will run around and wait in lines and complain the whole time and buy a bunch of stuff that our kids won't like after a month anyway. I'll tell you a place you don't have to wait in line. You get a free gift. It's an eternal gift that never wears out. It's called the church. You're in it. You don't have to wait in line to hear the minister say, "I forgive you your sins," do you? You wait a little bit for communion, but not long. Run up and partake of a free gift of his body and blood. Faith, that's what matters now. Flee your self-righteousness. Flee your Jerusalem, your pride. Flee to Jesus. Have faith. That's what matters now. And then finally, the final two commandments are about hope. At the end of the text, he says, "And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Wow, what a sight. Jesus coming in glory, the angels, the archangels, in power. It's going to be a sight. What are we to do? Run and hide, right? I'm scared. It's Jesus. Get out of here. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up. In other words, stand up. Raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The rest of the world runs to caves and hides us to God that they've ignored. But Jesus is our brother. You're not afraid of Jesus, are you? He's our brother who died for us, who rose again for us. He's washed us in baptism. He's fed us as he does today. He's our brother. I'm not afraid of my brother. We stand up. We raise our heads. Take me, Jesus, is the idea. It's the posture of hope. It's the posture of Christian hope. Though all the hell's breaking loose around me, around it, the world shakes, I stand firm on the rock. Take me, Lord, I'm ready whenever you are. That's the hope of the Christian, and that's what matters now. Don't become depressed and downtrodden by the world. Have hope, Christian. Our future's glorious. Not in a fortune cookie. Found in the forgiveness of sins in the blood of Jesus. There's our hope. Never complain about standing in church. You know, people ask me, why do you stand so much in the church? Well, let me tell you why we stand. It's not just to keep you awake. We stand because we have hope. We stand because we're bold. We're fearless. We can stand before our God because he has washed us and cleansed us. That's why we stand in church. It's a posture of hope and boldness. I pray to God. I stand before God because of Christ my Savior. That's why we stand. That's why we confess boldly prayers and the confession. We don't mumble those things. Put our heads down. We're bold children of God who have the hope of glory. You know, they say where if you're an optimist, you can live up to 10 years longer than a pessimist. Are you an optimist? Don't be optimistic about this world. That's obvious in the text. But have great optimism and hope in the next world. Glory. You have hope in Jesus. You'll live longer than 10 years. You'll live forever. And your body will be raised new and glorious. So yes, we are living now in the last days. False doctrine, persecution, earthquakes, trials, tribulations. All hell breaks loose. What really matters now? Truth. That's what matters now. Faith. That's what matters now. Hope. That's what matters now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and confess our faith in our God.